We commence with the tafsir of Surah Yasin. Last night, in the concluding comments, we spoke about the different names of Surah Yasin. One is the common name and the name that it is given in the Quran, the name of Yasin. Then we spoke of the name Al-Mu'immah. Reference is made to Surah Yasin in Torah, and there it is referred to as Al-Mu'immah, the bestower of great good in this world. It is also known as Ad-Dafi'ah. Ad-Dafi'ah, the defender, the repeller, the one that safeguards and protects a person against all types of misfortune. It is also known as Al-Qadiyah, the fulfiller of needs. Through its recitation, a person can have his or her needs fulfilled. We move on to the very first ayah of Surah Yasin. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yasin wal Qur'anil Hakim. Yasin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Yasin by the Quran. By the Quran, Allah takes a qasam. That waw in the Arabic language that you see there, wa wal Qur'an, that waw is used to take an oath. It is waw qasmiyah, we call it. The waw of oath. Wal Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and by the Qur'an, al Hakim. What does al Hakim mean? Al-Hakim is one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Al-Hakim, yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses it as one of the attributes of the Qur'an. Al-Hakim, will go into the meaning of Hakim in a bit. But Al-Hakim means one that is full of wisdom. One that is full of hikmah. Hikmah means wisdom. Now, coming back to the first two letters. Those are letters, Ya and Sin. These are letters from the Arabic alphabet. It is not a word. These are known as Al-Huruf Al-Muqatta'at. There are 27 chapters of the Qur'an which commence with similar letters, such letters known as Al-Huruf Al-Muqatta'at. They are disjointed letters. They are isolated letters. They are not used to conjugate and to form a word. So Yasin is not known as a word in Arabic, but these are two separate letters from the Arabic language, the Ya and the Sin. And already we have heard in the Taraweeh Salah two such surahs which commence with the disjointed letters. Suratul Baqarah, Alif Lam Mim, and Suratul Al-Imran as well. This evening was recited. The very first words with which it begins is also Alif Lam Mim. Now, what is the meaning of these letters? The well-known position with regards to the meaning of these letters is that Allah alone has the full knowledge of the meaning of these letters. They do have a meaning, but that meaning is known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala who said, لِكُلِّ كِتَابٍ sir. Every book has a secret that's known to the author. And we can understand the statement of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala who to a greater extent when we apply to paintings. When an artist, when he draws a painting, within the painting, there is a secret that's concealed within the painting that is known to the artist himself. And people try later on, generations on, years on, sometimes the artist has passed away or has left this world, and people try and unravel those secrets and the mysteries that the artist had kept hidden within that painting. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, every book has a secret known to the author. And he says the secret of this book is fawatihu. Fawatih, these disjointed letters which are found in the beginning of many, many surahs. He says, do not try and attempt to unravel the secrets or to try and discover their meanings. Their meanings are known to Allah. According to some mufassirin, their meanings were a secret between Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the true meaning of these letters, Yasin, Alif, Lam, Mim, Alif, Lam, Ra, the true meaning of these letters, according to some, were known to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One thing you will notice that they all have the 27 surahs which commence with these letters. You will find that they have something in common. What is it that they have in common? Is whenever these letters are mentioned, such as Yasin and the other letters which are mentioned in the beginning of the surahs, immediately after these letters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states something about the Qur'an. Okay, let us cite some examples. Suratul Baqarah, Alif Lam Mim, disjointed letters. What comes after that? Dhalikal Kitab. This book. So immediately after the letters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the Qur'an. Look at Surah Al-A'raf. Alif, Lam, Mim, Sad. Four disjointed letters. What comes next? Kitabun unzila ilayk. A book that was revealed to you. Again, reference made to the Qur'an after the disjointed letters. Surah Yunus. What does Allah say? Alif, Lam, Ra. Tilka ayatul kitabil hakim. These are the verses of the wise book. Again, reference made to the Kitab of Allah. Surah Hud, Alif Lam Ra, Kitabun Uhkimat Ayatu. Again, mention of the Kitab, the Quran. Surah Taha, what does Allah say over there? Taha, Ma Anzalna Alayka Al-Quran Litashqa. We have not revealed the Quran to you, Litashqa, so that you experience any suffering and difficulty. Surah Yasin, Wal Quran Al-Hakim. What comes after Yasin? Wal Quran, by the Quran. So we find that majority, there's perhaps maybe one or two surahs. One of the surahs, Surah Al-Imran, which was recited this evening. Alif Lam Mim, Allahu la ilaha illa huwal hayyul qayyum, if I'm not mistaken. There, these are one of those surahs, or one of the places where direct reference is not made to the kitab, to the book of Allah. But everywhere else you will find that after the disjointed letters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention to the Qur'an. Why is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is challenging the Arabs in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in every other time. You must know that in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, eloquence in speech reached its peak. They were masters in the Arabic language. When it came to Arabic poetry, subhanallah, it was the skill of the era. In the time of Isa alayhi salam, what was the skill, or what was the craze? Medicine. In the time of Musa alayhi salam, what was the craze? It was sorcery and magic. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Musa alayhi salam something that could annihilate and eliminate magic. Isa alayhi salam was sent with the power of curing others and bringing the dead back to life. Why? Because the craze in his time was medicine. The craze in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was poetry, eloquence in speech. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the Quran. So the reason why reference is made to the Quran immediately after the disjointed letters, it was a challenge to the Arabs of that time. That you are so eloquent, you have reached the zenith and the peak in eloquence and in Arabic and in poetry, yet this Quran is formed, and this Quran has been revealed in the very same letters that you use in your speech, yet you cannot produce anything like it. So Allah is telling them, look, Ya and Seen, Yasin. These are the same letters that you use. Wal Quran al Hakim, but even though you use these letters, Wal Quran al Hakim, my challenge to you is you cannot produce anything like the Quran. Alif Lam Mim. You use these letters when you talk and when you speak in your conversations. Dhalikal Kitabu la Rayba Fih. But despite the Quran revealed in the very same language that you speak and the very same letters which you use in your conversations, my challenge to you is you still cannot produce something that can even come close to the Quran in terms of eloquence and in terms of beauty. Imam Malik rahimahullah, he was of the view that Yasin is in fact one of the names of Allah. Imam Malik, that was his personal view, and he opined that Yasin is not in fact one of the disjointed letters. Okay, but of course that is not the view of the majority. But Imam Malik, the great scholar that he was, it is worth studying his statement on al-huruf al-muqatta'at. A narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma also says that it is one of the divine names of Allah. The great Sahabi Ibn Abbas, he also felt that Yasin is one of the divine great names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to another narration, this is a word from the Ethiopian language. Yasin is not, in fact, from the Arabic language. It is what we refer to as an Arabized word. It is actually a foreign word that was incorporated into the Arabic language. Its origins are found in the Ethiopian language, and Yasin in the Ethiopian language actually means human person. So Yasin, human person, referring to the very person of the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Allah says Yasin, who is he calling out to? Yasin, noble person, the very personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is gathered also from a saying of Ibn Jubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu that the word Yasin, and we spoke of this last night, is the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Of course, these are different commentaries and different explanations. Just, we haven't even gone beyond two letters of Surah Yasin and look at the commentary already. And this is just a nubdha. This is just a small portion of what has been written on Yasin. Subhanallah, what an ocean of knowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in two letters of the Quran that commentators have deliberated over this and they have wrote over this, only the two letters in the beginning of Surah Yasin. We move on to Wal Quran Al Hakim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and by the Quran that is full of wisdom. Allah is taking a qasam by what? By the Quran. He's taking a qasam by his speech. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by something, Allah takes an oath by time. Wal asr, Allah says by time. Allah takes an oath by the pen. Noon, wal qalam. Which qalam? The pen that wrote the destiny of everything before it even came into creation. Allah took an oath by that pen. And we find in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by certain things. Why does Allah take an oath by something? Firstly, it is to draw our intention to the significance of what Allah is taking an oath by. So the fact that Allah is taking an oath by the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to tell us, and of course something we believe and we already know, that the Quran is something really great and magnificent, and that is why Allah the Great and the Magnificent is taking an oath by it. So that's the first thing. Secondly, when Allah takes an oath by something, whatever Allah is taking an oath by is used as an evidence for what follows the oath. Whatever Allah is taking an oath by is actually an evidence, a proof of what follows that oath. Now, we haven't come to what follows the oath. But to understand what I'm saying, let us look at wal-asr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal-asr, man is at loss. What follows that oath? Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Indeed, all human beings are at loss. Now, all human beings are at loss. That statement that they are constantly at loss, you want some evidence for that. You want some proof for that, to show that. What is the proof and the evidence? That which Allah took an oath by? Time itself. Time itself, because what happens with time? You are losing time. Today somebody met me after Maghrib Salah, and they says, you know what, one day is gone. One day of Ramadan is gone. You can never get it back. So what's happening with time? You are keep on losing time. So Allah took an oath by time, because time itself is an evidence that insan is at loss. So second point, two things. When Allah takes an oath by something, number one, it is to denote and show the significance and the greatness of that thing. Number two, that thing will be used as an evidence for what comes after it, for what statement is actually made after it. Al-Hakim. We're not going to spend so much time on every verse, but I just want you to appreciate these introductions or these introductory verses of Yasin, which are quite significant and much information. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Hakim, the wisdom, or the Quran is one that's full of wisdom. Right? Al-Hakim. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the quality of having experience. Right? The first thing, when you hear wisdom, the man has wisdom, the first thing that comes to your mind is what? He is of age. He is of advanced age. Why? Because the more older he is, the more he has experience, and the source of wisdom is what? Experience. So the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear full of wisdom is it's a whole lot of experience in that person, right? Number two, hakim, knowledge. With the experience is also knowledge. and there's good judgment. Allah says the Quran has all three of these. Experience. Why? What does it mean the Quran has experience? Because the Quran is relating to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of events that took place in the past, that were experienced and that were witnessed. Right? So that's where the experience comes from. Then of course the Quran is full of knowledge. The Quran is packed and loaded with knowledge. Every form of knowledge. I mean, there are scientific facts in the Quran that have baffled scientists in the 21st century in which we live. So it is full of knowledge as well. A whole lot of knowledge related to every aspect of our lives. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is the Quran that is hakeem. It is full of wisdom. Innaka, we move on to the next verse. Innaka. Right? We'll translate it word for word. Innaka. Allah addresses the Prophet sallallahu. Now Allah took the qasam, right? Allah took the oath. In the first, wal Quran al hakim, by the wise Quran. Taking an qasam to prove what? Remember, the qasam has come to prove something, as an evidence for something. What is it proving? What is the Quran an evidence to? Innaka. Indeed you, O Muhammad. La. You are certainly. Min al mursaleen. One of those who have been sent. Right? That's a literal translation. So, we come to the first theme of Surah Yasin. We said there are different themes. There are three main themes in Surah Yasin. The first is the theme of prophethood. The second is the theme of Tawheed, oneness of Allah. And the third main theme is the theme that deals with Akhirah, matters of the year after. So, the Quran is the evidence. So what do we say? The Quran, because Allah took an oath by the Quran, it is an evidence. Evidence to what? It is the proof that you are sent from Allah. Allah uses His kalam, His book, His own speech as an evidence, as a proof, to show what? To prove to the world what? That indeed you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are one of those who have been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now look at innaka lamina mursaleen. There are two articles of emphasis. In Arabic, when you want to emphasize a statement, you use inna. Can you see the inna there? Inna. What does inna mean? Inna means indeed, surely, definitely, of course. Allah emphasizes it with inna. Then go further down, la. Can you see lamina mursaleen? The lam there, we call it the lam of ta'keed. That is also the lam used to emphasize. Allah uses two articles of emphasis to emphasize the validity of the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, if you look at it over here, who is Allah addressing it? Allah is addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Allah is not saying, although who's denying the prophethood? The Nabi of Allah, he's not saying, well, I'm not a prophet. Or he's not denying prophethood. Or he does not reject the Prophet of Allah, the responsibility that Allah has placed on him. It is those around him who are rejecting him and denying him. But Allah does not tell them that innahu, indeed he is certainly a one who is sent. Allah says innaka. Allah is addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. Now why is this? Why is Allah addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when those who are denying him are not being addressed? So the reason for this here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to console the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, sometimes, you know, somebody, because everyone called him a liar, everyone called him an insane person, everyone called him a madman. Now think about this, somebody comes up to you and they tell you, you know what, you're a liar. You'll say, okay, it's one person calling me a liar. I mean, you know, then somebody else, your uncle calls you a liar, your cousin calls you a liar, your business associate calls you a liar. Your neighbors call you a liar. A stranger on the street walking calls you a liar. Everyone in the community is calling you a liar, an insane person, a madman, a soothsayer. It's going to get to you, right? You are going to feel, it's going to affect you. It is definitely going to affect you. And that was the situation, the hostile environment in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived. He received no support from anyone, not even his own family. In fact, they were the first to reject him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoles the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, listen, I'm here to tell you, inna, certainly you are, la, definitely min al-mufsirin, from those who are sent, from those who have been sent. And that's the idea of propaganda. What is propaganda? Propaganda is when there are lies that are spoken, but they are spoken from so many multiple platforms and avenues, and in such a convincing way, lies upon lies upon lies, that eventually we believe those lies to be the truth. That is propaganda. And that is what was happening against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, I will conclude on two points. Allah says, إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Look at the translation, how I'm translating. Some translations have it as, indeed you are a messenger. That is not a correct translation. Certainly you are مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, from those who have been sent. Two reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses expression. Allah could have said, إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولَ. إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولَ. Indeed you are a messenger. But Allah is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are from those that have been sent. You are not on your own. Or you are not the only one experiencing what it is that you are experiencing. You belong to a team. You belong to a team. So if Allah had said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولَ, indeed you are a messenger, well, maybe I'm the only messenger that came. Maybe I'm the only one who's experiencing whatever it is that I'm experiencing. But like you and I, when you are going through some difficulty in your life, and somebody tells me you, that you know what, you're not alone. There's somebody else having a similar situation, or you come to know of somebody experiencing a similar problem or a greater problem, that in itself is a means of consolement for yourself. So Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you belong to a team. There are and there were many others who were also sent. In other words, they also experienced what you are experiencing. So as alone as you feel, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, understand that you are a part of this team, and I'm going to introduce every one of them to you. In the Quran, that's what Allah did. He introduced every one of the messengers to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Yusuf and what he had experienced, Hud and what he experienced, Nuh and what he experienced, right? Introducing each one of those members to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We'll just round up with a translation of what we have covered thus far. Yasin, wal Quran al Hakim, by the Quran that is full of wisdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam to prove what? إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. You are truly one of those who have been sent. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.